All right, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Brother Tharp, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. When they've finished, would you mind going outside that door? And I'll tell you what to do when you're outside there. Not yet, but in a moment. I'm going to use you here in a moment. John chapter 1. Now, I know we use Revelation 3:20, and I use it very often in my discussing with people about the need for salvation. When I give the gospel out, I always, almost always end up at Revelation 3:20 telling them, it's now in your lap. Somebody's knocking on your heart, and you need to respond. But I want you to understand, the verse is written to a church. And as much as the world rejects and crowds out Jesus Christ, so do Christians. I want to talk to you this morning, just simple. I couldn't think of a more profound title. If somebody's knocking on the door, I need you to go there. I need you to start knocking on that door and don't stop. Don't knock hard and loud. Just knock patiently there. The idea is, oh, we got people coming in and out. You get in here. All right. Louder. All right. Keep going. Louder. All right. Somebody's knocking at the door. The idea of this message is, if somebody's knocking, what should you do? Because it gets very aggravating after a while. Amen? The idea is, and was it you who said that the nice thing about the verse that we're learning, behold, I stand at the door, not that he keeps knocking, amen? Now, you and I, we go to a door, and you knock on the door 3 or 4 times. If they don't answer, what do? You go on your way. But he's persistent, amen? So what should we do?
Answer it,
amen. All right. Okay, come on in. I want us to answer the door this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Father, please help us as we focus on this verse and as we look at this concept. God, please burden our heart. I am really burdened. The world is going to hell. But it's not for lack of the cross. It's not for lack of the Bible. It's for the lack of yieldedness. Our world does not see bright and shining lights. Our lights have gone dim. And would you please burden our hearts for a closer, more vibrant, real walk with you. I pray that you would change us this morning. And that you'd humble us. And forgive us for trying to compartmentalize our Christianity and make it only Sunday. Make it so that Christianity is something we do when we have time for it, God. Where we only read our Bible when we have nothing else to do. But God, please burden us and break us over just how little we walk with you. And how rarely we open the door. And no wonder we're so frustrated. No wonder we're so uptight. It's because there's a knock and we haven't answered it. Help us, Lord, to understand this sort of, it's symbolic, but this very real issue in our hearts. I pray for every person in this room to evaluate, examine their own hearts, prove whether they really are born again. If they are, praise God. But if they're not, may they let Jesus in. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There in the Gospel of John chapter 1, look in verse 10. Just imagine Jesus Christ. It says, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. They had no idea who this plain-looking guy really was. He came into his own people, and even his own people received him not. Can you not see? He came, it'd be like you going home for Christmas, knocking on the door of your mom's house, and she's going, who is it? And you go, it's John. They go, John who? You know, your son. You're right. And they won't receive you. There's no welcome there. They basically say, go away. Come back tomorrow. We're not ready for you. He came into his own, and his own people received him not. What did they end up doing to Jesus Christ? They crucified him. That's not a welcome. But, do you know there's some good buts in the Bible? Amen? But as many as opened the door, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, we take relationships for granted. We really do. Our marriage, Graham and Gina aren't here, so I can talk about them. But in the counseling with Graham and counseling with a lot of different people before they get married, I like to make it really serious that you're not just getting hitched. That's an American term, which means you're linking up and you're going on your way. A marriage is a relationship. A relationship that has two complementing people who come into a marriage and make each other better, help out each other, help carry one another. And in that marriage, there is a relationship. It's not, all right, she's mine, everybody back off, I get onto my own life and she'll be doing what I want, or how it is today. It's really the woman saying, he'll be doing what I want. You know how it is. It's a relationship, and we take them for granted. We take our parents for granted until we lose them. We take our children for granted and our friends for granted. Which everyone is basically on their own. Everybody just heads off. We don't have home anymore. People are naturally falling apart instead of growing closer together. It's amazing to me that we get along at all. It's amazing to me. With all the hurt, all the selfishness, all the grudges that people carry, we haven't learned to relate, much less to follow Jesus' command to love one another. The problem is deeper than just you and me. The problem goes between us and God. With all our flaws, with all our sinful natures, the most amazing thing to me is the fact that God wants me. Now, maybe that's an amazing thing to you, too. God seeks my fellowship with him. God wants me to tell him how my day went. Time means nothing to him. Amen? He's already seen the end, and he wants me to share my day with him. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? He waits for the likes of me. Somebody begins to tell me a story. I'm very impatient sometimes, and I kick myself. Somebody begins to tell me a story, and it's an Irish one. It has a beginning long ago, and you have no idea where it's going to end. Amen? I want to get to the point. Amen? And yet God says, tell me your story. Tell me what's on your heart. I got plenty of time. That's a relationship. And God seeks fellowship. He seeks our time. He seeks to walk with us through each day. He seeks to just know how we feel, even though he knows. He already knows what you need, but he likes to hear you tell him what you need. That blows me away. And I worry about you. I worry about me. Our walk with God is almost non-existent. I'm glad you're here this morning. But this is not a walk with God. What you do this afternoon, what you do tonight, what you do tomorrow morning, that's where you walk with God. And I fear we're not. I fear that just like modern Christianity, we have a form of godliness. But Jesus has been squished out the door. Now, thankfully, he wants back in. Amen? That's a very good thing. But the bad thing is, we're not worried about it. And I want to get us to worry about it. How can a mortal, sinful, selfish human being, like you or me, fellowship with an immortal, infinite, all holy being? How? Jesus makes it possible. Amen. Jesus makes it possible. So to this morning, let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and let's look at some things about our relationship and our walk with God. Revelation chapter 3. Lord Jesus here, by way of background, writes a letter to a church. He actually uses dictation. He actually says, John, the Apostle John, he says, get your pen. Get your biro. Get you out a piece of paper. I need you to take a letter. Okay? So if you look here, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, he says to John, he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Lord Jesus writes a letter to a church. Now, Laodicea, just stop for a second, and I want you to understand, Laodicea was a wealthy city. It was a trade city. A lot of businesses set up shop in Laodicea because it was an easy crossroads where people were coming to and fro, and they needed to be able to store their materials, and people came and they bought products and foods and spices and clothing from far ranges, far away places that would come to Laodicea and sell. So Laodicea had lots of tax money. They had lots of businesses, lots of money. And he writes to the Laodiceans, to the church of Laodicea. By the way, Laodicea is in Turkey. It's in modern Turkey. It's actually on the western coast, near the coast of Turkey. So it's basically in ruins now, but it's over what we call Turkey. But he writes to the church of Laodicea. These people were pagan. They had all kinds of gods. They were barbarians. Except for the Romans' influence on them, when you got an argument with a Laodicean, they slit your throat as fast as the mafia, man. Everything was money, and you don't cross them. And yet here, Jesus writes to the church that was there. There were some pagan barbarians who had turned from idols to worship the living and true God. They were a church now. This church, Laodicea, was a group of people committed to impacting their world with the gospel that had impacted them. Their city had an unusual name. Laodicea is actually two words put together, and it means people's rights. Isn't that funny? You know, when God had a church planted in that city, that church was to be influencing that city where all the people only thought of their rights, only thought of their wealth, only thought of their time and their goals. And that church was supposed to be influencing that city, but instead, the city had influenced that church. And the church became known as the Church of People's Rights. What do I get out of it? Well, you know, God hadn't answered my prayer. Something's wrong with God. All they thought about was themselves. Lord Jesus exposes this church in verse 15. He goes on, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art a new word, he says, lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says, secondly, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, he exposes them. He says, you think you're doing all right because you just get along with everybody. I want you either cold or hot. Let's put it in the vernacular. I want you all the way in. I just want you out. Amen? I want you on or off. You go into these new, who was it that was mentioned about those dumb CF bulbs? You know, these new bulbs you got. You go into a room and it's dim. Oh, it was Brother Dan. It's dim. You know, you buy something and it says, equivalent of 60 watts. Maybe for a moth. But the rest of us are looking at it like, man, turn the light on. You want light. You want illumination. You either want, it actually is harder on your eyes to have a dim light. I believe. Yeah. And God says, God wants you on or off. Because the world, when they see a bunch of lukewarm Christians, they're not moved. They're not motivated. As a matter of fact, it makes them almost as sick as it makes God. He says, I wish you were hot or cold. I like hot tea or iced tea. But give me lukewarm? Blah. You understand? I know you don't like iced tea at all, but some of us have evolved. Haven't had iced tea in years, by the way. This church was lukewarm and it was deluded. They're walking around as if, look at the money we have, look at the life we live, look at the clothes we wear, look at the cars, chariots that we drive, look at the house we live in. And Jesus says, but you are poor and miserable and wretched and blind and naked. That's what you really are. But you're walking around and you think you've so arrived. He's talking to a church. Amen? It's a scary thing. You know, he then counsels that church. Look at verse 18. I counsel thee, I advise thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You want some riches? Why don't you get some riches from me, that thou mayest truly be rich? And why don't you buy some white raiment? Instead of those filthy rags, clean clothes, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness did not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. It's as if their eyes had swollen shut, full of filth and full of disease and infection. And Jesus says, why don't you buy something that'll bring healing to that so you can actually start to see things as they truly are, that thou mayest see. He gives them counsel. And the next word is the most important word to understand. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Didn't your parents ever tell you that? I'm only doing this because I love you. Didn't they ever tell you that? They were telling the truth too, I bet. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. So be zealous therefore and what? Wow. That next word, repent, truly repent of what? And this is where the next verse, verse 20, tells us they need to repent of kicking Jesus out of their life. You see, the answer begins with Jesus taking charge again. John the Baptist had the right attitude. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. Oh, that we would make much of Jesus Christ instead of ourselves. Lift him up in honor, not with words only. This people draweth nigh unto me with their words, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And then the Lord Jesus begins to knock. What a strange way of talking. He says there now in verse 20, he says, behold, I stand, present tense, at the door and I knock. It's not like I came to your house and I knocked and I moved on. That's not what he said. He says, I'm standing right here and I'm knocking at the door of a church. And I knock. You know, Jesus promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. Is that a good verse? I like that verse. Amen. He'll never leave or forsake us. And yet there he is. He's described as being outside. Well, what'd you do, Lord? Did you leave me? No, you pushed me out. He's been squeezed out, kicked out. Thankfully, he doesn't walk away. Amen. You think of how lost we'd be. Somebody says, I believe in losing my salvation. Somebody, there are people all over this world who believe they can be saved and lose it. You know how dumb that is? Because if you could lose it, you have. If you could lose your salvation, you already have. Amen. So you got to just start to realize he keeps. But how do we treat his influence? How do we treat his presence in our life? I may ask it this way. Well, I'll hold with the thought. He knocks. I certainly wouldn't keep trying. I know some of you. Man, I would have given up a long time ago. And yet he doesn't, amen? I remember when Joseph came, he started coming to church. And his daughter started coming to church. And then Joseph went away and I thought, I'll never get him back. And then he came back. See, I can give up on people, but he doesn't, amen? Isn't that wonderful? He knocks. I'll never understand the depth of his commitment to someone like me, and yet there he is, seeking to be with me. desiring fellowship with me, desiring to share moments of time with someone as insignificant as me. What does my time mean? What do my thoughts mean? It's like a little kid saying, Daddy, Daddy, look, I found a leaf. A leaf. I mean, how important is a leaf? But to the kid, it's powerful. And Daddy sits down and says, that is amazing. You found that all by yourself? You understand? That's what God does. Huh? And he says, that's what I delight in. I delight. We miss so much of the Bible where God is crying out for us to walk with him. Oh, it's a rare thing. Noah's day, almost nobody did. But Noah walked with God, didn't he? There were times when it was the darkest period of Israel's history, and yet somebody would say, I must walk with God. My life does not matter unless I'm in his shadow. So Lord Jesus knocks. Why is he knocking? Because he wants to be with me. I really struggle this entire week with this message because I don't think I can make this emphasis enough. God wants to walk with me. And I sort of devalue that. I have treated God like a distant relative that I really don't want to go see. Oh yeah, he's in the family. But if he came, it would be a bother to me if he interrupted my TV program. You ever gone to somebody's house and they're like, glad you're here, but can you come back? We're really in, the match is on. Yeah. The Almighty, the all-wise God wants to hear how my day went. I want you to let Jesus back in today. I want you to see that even if you are saved, you can squish him out of your life. You need to let him back in. If you look at verse 20 with me one more time, he says this, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, he's writing to an entire church, but he waits for just one to open the door. Amen. He says, if just one of you would hear my voice, the first thing I want to talk about is there are three things before we get into the main emphasis here. Who's at that door? God is called Jehovah. He's called the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful being, the El Shaddai. That's who God is. He's quite capable of handling anything and everything. He calls forth the sun to rise and it rises. He tells it when to set and it sets. He says he set the stars in the sky, put them in motion. He has everything under control. That's our God. Amen. He handles not only our problems, but he handles everybody's problems. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, he's our only hope. He's the only one to look to. It says in Isaiah 45, it says, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I'm your only hope. So it makes most sense to look to him for strength and for help, for wisdom, for the supply of our needs. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is. But what have we made of him? We've made him an outsider. Someone we conveniently ignore. To too many people, Jesus Christ is a bother. He is a nuisance. He's a hassle. Sunday is an interruption. By the way, you know that Sunday's called the Lord's Day, right? Not the Lord's hour. It's the whole day belongs to him, amen? What we have done to him is we say, church is a bother. You know what you need to do? You need to schedule your Saturday so that you're not going to miss Sunday. Amen. Because you wouldn't dare miss Monday if you were working on a job, would you? So you set your Sunday all coordinated so that you're in bed early enough, so that you're up early enough to get to work in time. Amen. I believe we should set our Saturday so that we're not missing Sunday. Amen. What have we made of him? We've made him a bother and nuisance. We look at the Bible and we look at the RTE guide. And which one do we choose? He's a hassle. He's an interruption. Where is he now? He's on the outside of our lives and of our world. Would you agree that Jesus Christ is pretty well shoved out? Pretty well, he's not welcome. Go to Mark chapter 5. Hold in your place there in Revelation, because we'll look at it here in a second. Mark chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is the story of a man who is possessed with at least 2,000 demons. Mark chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 17, some of the saddest words in your Bible. It says this, and they, Mark chapter 5, verse 17, and they began to pray him, to beg him to depart out of their coast. They're asking Jesus to leave. You know why? Because he just was responsible for 2,000 pigs killing themselves, committing suicide. They lost a lot of money. And they said, could you leave before we lose more of our economy? Where is Jesus now? He usually is not in your morning, and you're wondering why you can't find him at night. Amen. Where is he now? How have we made him? Rarely is he looked for help until we've exhausted all other options. Never do we make Jesus Christ and his word and his will our priority. Yet he made us his. This morning we have such an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we don't. Let's look at what he asks. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he begins, he says, if any man hears my what? What does Jesus ask? The first thing he asks is to listen to his voice again. How did you get saved? If you're born again, it's because not just somebody gave you a gospel tract. I cannot win anybody to Christ. I cannot save you. I cannot forgive you. But when I'm opening up a gospel leaflet and I'm explaining the gospel to you, there is another voice, isn't there? It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. That in the background of Bill's brain, there's a voice saying, he's right. That's right, Bill. You're going to hell. Bill, you must be born. Did you see that? Read that verse again. He showed you in the Bible. It's not Craig's word. It's the Bible's word. Bill, you must be born again. And that's why Bill got very agitated. Because there were two voices coming at him. I'm saying, Bill, you got to be born again. And Bill's going, man, I'm being surrounded. Amen. Because there is another voice working. And if you want to walk with God again, you got to get used to listening to that voice again. Let me talk to you about that voice. That is the voice that called the universe into existence. Jesus, all he had to do was say, let there be light, and there was light. Let the sea bring forth land, and rock appeared. He said, let the land bring forth grass and trees, and it did. He said, let the air bring forth birds and I don't know what else is up there. Insects and everything else. And it did. And he said, oh, by the way, I better put all the stars up there. And they appeared. That voice is very powerful, isn't it? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, I think it's the most amazing thing. This powerful voice calls us to follow him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's a powerful challenge. It's a powerful voice. John, you're in Revelation. You can close it for a minute. We'll come back in a little while. But John chapter 5. My dad had a voice that we used to say could raise the dead. Well, Jesus really has a voice that will raise the dead. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 24. John 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one. He says, Thank you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He will raise the dead with his voice. Hebrews 12 says this, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape. If we turn away from him that speaks now from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet much once more, I shall shake not the earth only, but heaven also. When he speaks, when he spoke from Mount Sinai at the Ten Commandments, the mountain shook, amen? But one day he's going to speak and Jupiter will shake. And every star will vibrate. That's a voice, amen? That's a voice. And yet he speaks to you and me. It's a powerful voice, but I think it's a very peculiar voice. In John chapter 10, go to chapter 10 now. I want to show you that this voice is different than all other voices. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a what? All right, now I'm glad Jesus uses the door. Because Jesus says, you know, when somebody uses a window to get into your house, what are they? A thief and a robber. And he goes on in verse 2, he says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, what do they do? Underline those three words. They hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep
by name.
He knows my name. He likes the name Hannah. Amen. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them. Now, I've been with some Irish shepherds. And it's unusual. You got those sheepdogs. There's a lot of lessons about shepherding. But some shepherds actually, I don't know if all of them do, they actually know their sheep by name. And I've seen the sheep, and there's no way you can tell. That's George, that's Frank, that's Mary, that's Lou. There's no way. They're all the same to me. But he knows them. He knows those sheep, amen? He says, that one with that little limp on the back. Yeah, that's Craig, man. That one over there, that one with his nose real sticking up like that, that's Bill. And you know, He can see us and knows us. He knows us by name and he calls us and he leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth. Now, this is unusual. He goes before them. He doesn't drive the sheep. He leads the sheep and the sheep follow him. Look at the next time he says it. For they know his what? I sit down and I'll read the new Bibles. I'll read, I read everything I get my hands on. I have read the Book of Mormon. I have read Jehovah's Witness. I didn't read the whole thing, the Jehovah's Witness mistranslation thing, but I've read large sections of them. I've read anything and everything I can get my hands on. Somebody says, check this out. I try to check it out. Bill sends me stuff every week. And he says, you ready yet? And I go, no, man. But all of this stuff I try and read. But you know what? When I pick up this book, it's a different voice. It's a different voice. It's just, it talks like God. Amen? I know his voice. Even when I was unsaved and I'm sitting there and the preacher preached and the soul winner showed me out of the Bible into the gospel track, I realized that's the word of God. Amen. Look down at verse 8. All that ever came. Now look at verse 7. He says, verily, verily, Jesus says, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Start down in verse 16. He says this. He says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The other sheep are us dumb Gentiles. Amen. See, Jesus came and was talking to the Jews, and he says, hey, Jews, guess what? I'm going to go out there, and we're going to win us some Gentiles. And they're going to hear my voice too. Amen. Now pick up down in verse 27. And it just gets gooder, as they say. My sheep hear my voice. Excuse me, have you heard his voice today? Have you heard his voice? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I like that part. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, you think my hand's not very strong, Jesus says right now. I may look like a plain nobody. I may walk around looking like I'm just a Joe Soap. But if you don't think my hand is strong enough, he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. By the way, I and my Father are
one.
He's saying, you're looking at somebody that looks just like you. You're looking at somebody who I call myself the Son of Man, Jesus said, but I and the Father are one. Don't worry that you're in my hand. My hand is the Father's hand. You're secure. Amen? It's a peculiar voice. Do you know his voice? Paul heard his voice on the road to Damascus when Jesus Christ knocked him off that horse and he's looking up into that light brighter than the sun, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul looked up and he said, is that you, Lord? That's the same voice I heard of a man that I thought was the greatest heretic of all. And there you are. You are alive. What wilt thou have me to do? Amen. He heard that voice. Changed his life. The Isle of Patmos, John heard the voice of Jesus Christ. In prison, the Apostle John and Jesus fellowshipped. King David heard the voice of God. Abraham heard it, especially when he was getting ready to sacrifice his son. And the Lord broke through the clouds and says, Abraham, whoa there. Amen. He heard the voice of God. You ever done something stupid and you could hear that voice in the background saying, Craig, stop. I'm not listening. Was our response? The peculiar voice. You know it's God. Moses heard his voice at Mount Sinai, and it scared him. But it's a pursuing voice. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. God wants to talk to us. Says, let's go over this thing. Let's talk about this. Let me show you why I'm right. It's a pursuing voice. Again, I gave you Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Why don't you find out what I can do for you? He pursued me. I couldn't find God. I like how Bruce Fry says it. God wasn't lost. I was. I don't find God. I allow God to find me. Amen. It's a pursuing voice. Case in point. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. You can leave, John. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And that serpent said unto the woman, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, trying to provoke her and get her thinking. And the woman said, you know, you're right. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, right in the middle of it, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said back unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Is he a liar or what? He is a liar. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You mean just like God. God's holding out on you. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, oh, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and then went and found her husband, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were what? Before that, they had never been ashamed of it, but now they felt like, ooh, quick, what do we do? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice. Hello? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? It's a pursuing voice. I would never, ever be in church if it weren't for the fact that God went looking for me. Because all I'm good at is hiding. Amen? Amen? That's a pursuit. God could have said, look at what, I'm not even messing with this mess. Amen? But instead he came looking for some sinners. It's a pursuing voice. Jesus says in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's an invitation to me. It's a peaceful voice. It's a peaceful voice. You know, he's not like your parents. You know what I'm talking about? A yelling, screaming, upset voice. I knew when my mom was upset because she talked like this. I am so mad I can't see straight, she said. She's this small, you know. You just... you cringe at that sight, amen? But Jesus' voice is a sound that calms and stills the anxious heart and mind. That's what his voice is. And if you're dealing with stress, you better get to where you listen to that voice that can calm the most vicious sea. Because his voice calms. We spend our lives talking and listening to everyone but Jesus Christ. Have you noticed how little a quiet time you have? Your iPod is in your ear. The radio is constantly in the background. TV on in the background at the same time. The radio is on in the car. You're reading the newspaper. None of them are evil, but they all are us trying to fill up our ears with noise. And that is the devil coming, trying to keep us so that we have no ability to hear God. You need some quiet time. The most spiritual people are the ones who can take a walk, and they don't have the iPod in their ear, and they just walk and they talk with Jesus. You say, Pastor, you must be a very spiritual man, a very holy man, up there, well-dressed, in front of church. This is not my spiritual moment. This isn't where God comes down and just does something wonderful. I have to have a walk with God where it's just me and Him. Amen. So do you. You don't have a spiritual moment where you have something wise that you say. Do you know the wisest thing you'll ever do is shut up? If any man will, listen, I'm going to put it in the vernacular. If any man or woman will shut their mouth long enough to hear my voice and open the door, then I'll come in. Amen. We have too much noise. We have too much activity. We have so many things that we forget he's trying to talk. A peaceful voice. Get back to having a quiet time where there's no sound but his voice. Listen to him as he's... If you spend... Look, you know, this book is the Word of God. If when you read the Bible, if he is not heard, I have only one, there's two things. Either sin in your heart is going to make this thing dead, or you're not reading enough of it. If you're backslid and there's just no voice coming from this book, it's because you're not reading enough of it. Honestly. Because we're holding on to some sin in our life, some stubbornness, some attitude, and God says, you need to hear his voice. What am I talking about? This month we're talking about an open door of a relationship with him. I am glad for my friends in this room. I'm glad for my family that's in this room. And I love fellowshipping. I love relating to every one of you, whether it's in your home or on a Sunday or on a Saturday or on a Wednesday. This is great. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but here. But I need to be with him. And I need to have a walk with him where when I wake up, he's the first on my mind. Not my burdens and not the troubles. I need to hear his voice. And if I'm not hearing it, I need to be worried. Amen. If you had a mobile phone and it didn't work, how long would you keep it? Because something is wrong with the phone and it's supposed to be able to get you to communicate with somebody. And if you... I don't think we could live without our mobile phones, could we? You ever lost it and you thought you were naked? I can't go anywhere. I got to get my phone. Where's my phone? I want to get you. I really wish, and I know I have no ability. If the Holy Spirit could get your heart this morning to where you realize, I'm not desperate for the voice of God. Jesus said it. My sheep hear my voice. Have you heard him speak to you? I did. I sat in church there for 7 stinking, proud, stubborn weeks when I was 17 years old. And I'm listening to that man of God preach, and he opened up the Bible, and I didn't have a Bible. The guy sitting next to me, actually he was on this side, the guy sitting next to me, I, or at least one of them, I remember, he was sitting there, and I always sat next to him because he always opened up the Bible, took me to every place in the Bible that he, the pastor, Jack was his name, was preaching from, and he helped me learn and see what Jesus was teaching or what Moses was teaching, the whole thing on the Bible. And I'm sitting there, and every time when he would hit a verse, I got mad. Where I said, who does he think he is? And I look at the back of the Bible and says, where did that come from? How come that guy knew what I was doing? Yes. Amen. I think it was Geraldine who said, are you a fly on our wall? do you remember she saying that? I had no idea. But God's voice was talking. Oh, yeah, and then you felt like, would he ever shut up? I don't want to be embarrassed. Everybody knows what I'm doing. Folks, you need to get back to a time where God is able to speak to you again. Where you know, and where it is sometimes a gripping, a convicting time. And sometimes it is just such a pleasant time. You need that voice. Maybe you need to get into your car and just drive to a park somewhere, switch everything off, switch the phone off, and just read your 10 chapters a day. You just need to get away. You need that. You need to hear the voice of God. I didn't make that up. Jesus said it. If anyone will just hear my voice. Do you know his voice? I believe this is probably the most important step because we have a perfect illustration here. This lovely couple here. Do you know what is the problem in 3/4 of all relationships? They don't listen. He doesn't listen, does he? No. And she doesn't listen, does she? Because she wants you to listen, and you're trying to get her to listen, amen? But do you know how to smooth out a lot of marriage problems? Shut one of them up. And one at a time talk, amen? And you're on your way to getting fixed, amen? Because they both love each other. They're not being heard. And so you just get angry. And you know, God so loves this world, but he'd love us to just stop for a while and let him talk. He'll let you talk. He knows. He's asking you, pray, ask what you need, seek and knock, but let me talk too, God says. Then we're too out of balance in our walk with God. We don't listen to him. Somebody called it this, there are ear and mouth problems in our homes, all mouth and no ears. Secondly, what he asks is for us to yield again. If you're going to open that door, let me scare you for a second. Come here for a second here, Brother Philip. I need you back out there. I wish I had Lucky here. All right, but he'll have to do. He's not very imposing, is he? All right, start knocking. I know I'm saved. I'm born again. I read my Bible. I know that if I let him back in, he's going to take over. That's his job, isn't it? Go to Luke chapter, keep knocking. Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He's going to write this to somebody and say, you never know what's going to happen when you go to church. Amen. I will not. I'm stubborn today. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. What does Jesus say? And why call ye me what?
Lord.
Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Do you know what? The problem with Jesus Christ is that when he comes back in. Thank you. Stop for a second. Don't run off. When he comes back in, he's not my buddy. All right? He's my Lord, isn't he? And when he comes back in, he wants to take over. That's why we kind of squished him out. And what he asks for us to do is open the door and let him lead. Yield. Thank you. Now you can sit down. It's very simple. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And when he comes in, he takes over. That's how it should be. Amen. When he takes over, it'll scare you because he'll all of a sudden have a different desire and design for your life than what you think you want to do. But yield again. Do you know how this? That's how you got born again, wasn't it? You finally just yielded. You say, Lord, I surrender all. And I take you not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. You remember that? We need to get there again. That verse is written to Christians who stop letting Jesus be Lord. Yield again. Third, I think this is probably, go to Genesis 2 and verse 24 to cleave to him. Genesis 2, 24. Two 24 says this, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall, what's the next word? Cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. Now, I'm not going to do this because he's a guy and I'm a guy. I'm not going to do it. But with Jesus, I will. That when he comes in back to my life, I don't just need to give him lip service and just say, oh, you know, give him honor. No, I want to hold on to him. We have so, guys, I'm talking to men now. Now, I want a church full of men who are men, okay? But we need to have, as men, we need to have such a close relationship with the Lord where we will not let him go. Where we say like Jacob, where we cry out, we say, I will not let thee go lest thou bless me. We need. You hear the word to cleave is to cling. A husband and wife are supposed to cling to each other, never have their eyes on anyone else, amen. Never be seeking for some sort of meeting of the needs from someone else, but only from that person from that day forward. And I, in my stinking stupidity, I and you, we find ways to get our needs met from this world. And we get tired of Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls it spiritual adultery. I need to cling to him. When he comes in, he's family. He's my all. I don't want to invite a picture that I put on my wall. I don't want to have a statue that I put on my mantle. I want Jesus Christ, and I want to cling to him. I let him go, or I pushed him out, or I ignored him, and I quenched him. And I don't want to do that ever, ever, willingly, knowingly. Amen? Cleave to him. He wants to move into your life, become part of your heart again. It's easy in a Bible-believing church to make Jesus, oh, we know all about him up here, but we don't really, really, really cling to him here. He needs to be the head of every meal, the focus of every conversation, the source of every answer, and the one reason why we do anything. Relationships, all our relationships are built upon a commitment to the person that when you got married, you decided you were going to cling to her and she was going to cling to you. Amen? And our relationship with Jesus Christ is one where I choose to cling to him. You know what? He wants to cling to me. I'm never leaving you, Craig. Cleave to him. Why would people want to be called Christians and yet not cleave unto Christ, cling unto him? Listen to Moses in Deuteronomy. We're almost through. Just Deuteronomy. A few books to the right. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Chapter 30 and verse 20. This is Moses pleading with God's people to never let go of their closeness with God. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. That was his burden. And that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land with the Lord, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Moses is looking out at a crowd of 2.5 million people, and he says, would you hold on to God? Hold with a grip that will not let go, because he is your life. What he asks in verse 21, back in when we're finished here, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. He says, overcome every single obstacle that's come between you and him. I just wanted to start off this month. This whole month we're going to be looking at our closeness and the ability, the opportunity for us to walk with Jesus. What does the Bible say in 1 John 1:7? What if we walk in the light as he is in the light? Now, sometimes we read it, we have fellowship one with another. But that's not what it's saying. I'm glad we have fellowship one with another. But I can have fellowship with any piece of dirt. Amen?
Take your hand off me.
Okay. I love you, Bill. Amen. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So he keeps me under the blood so I can keep close to him. That's where my fellowship is. And I neglect it. And I'm starting off this month. All of these messages are about walking with him. About listening. What happened there? Listening to his voice. If you get nothing else, I want burdened on your heart. Burned into your conscience. A worry about, I've never heard his voice. I read his Bible, but I don't really listen. I want you to listen like he's talking, because he wrote it for you. If there's nothing else, I want you to see your name on every page. It's for you. He's trying to get your attention. And if there is any obstacle, I don't care if it's a friend, I don't care if it's your stress, your troubles, your bills, none of them. Look at verse 21. He says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. What's he saying? You know, if there's anything, here's the point. Sometimes I come along and I make it. I need you again. Out the door. I make it. Start knocking. I don't like the noise. I wish that noise would stop. Would he ever just leave me alone? No, I don't want to go soul winning. I can't believe the preacher keeps preaching on soul winning. Can't believe the preacher keeps preaching on reading my Bible. I get so tired of listening to that stuff going on, and it just makes me mad. You know what? When I finally repent, you know what I need to do? I need to go back and very embarrassingly start undoing all of the obstacles I put between me and Jesus. Amen? And I need to make it. I need to make it so that, come on in. And I am going to do this because he is my brother. And be able to say to the Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting up all of those blocks. That's where repentance. Remember the verse we read there in verse 19? As many as I love, I chasten. Repent therefore. He says, overcome whatever has come between you and your relationship with the Lord. I don't care if you have the habit of staying up all night. Force yourself to stay up all day now. So that you can get a good night's sleep and get up on Sunday morning. I don't care if you can't read. If you can't read English, get you the Bible on tape. Overcome every obstacle. I don't care if you can't put down that cigarette. I've got some chemicals I could put on every one of your cigarettes, and I guarantee you'll stop smoking them. Overcome every single obstacle, because if your soul depended upon it, you would do it, wouldn't it? And I'm here to tell you, forgive me for pointing at him, but if this was Jesus Christ, he is your life. And the further away you are from the less you have a relationship with Him, the less your life is. The challenge is this. Thank you. We take our relationships for granted. God seeks. You see, we wait until we want to find God. Let me tell you, blind Bartimaeus sitting on the roadside, hearing Jesus pass by, he said, I'm not waiting for Jesus to call my name. I'm getting His attention. Jesus, thou Son of God. And everybody said, shut. He's not interested in you. And he said, no, I need Him now. And Jesus stopped and He said, get him over here. Blind Bartimaeus dumped his old rags and he says, I'm getting a new life. And he came up to Jesus Christ and Jesus said, what do you want? He says, I want to see. And the Lord said, done. I'm just telling you, he could have missed the only opportunity of ever getting his sight back. And you could be here this morning. This could be God's day for changing your life, saving your soul if you're not born again. And you need to realize he's knocking. And if you don't start pulling that stuff away and start, I don't care what it costs me, I'm going to get into my Bible. I'm going to make church my priority. I'm going to make prayer precious and my lifeline through every day instead of my bad attitude. God, you see, if you're waiting for you to feel like you need God, you'll probably go to hell. The devil will give you every reason to not get saved. The devil will give you every reason to not keep coming to church. I want you just to realize he's seeking you. Kind of like when I fell in love with Nita. See, she's not here. I can talk all about her. I fell in love the first sight. I know I'm one of those dummies. There's two of us. Amen. But I want you to know she did not fall in love, I'm sorry to say, at first sight. I mean, she didn't even notice me, amen. It was pure torture. But let me tell you, I didn't notice God, but He fell in love with me. And He's been pursuing. He pursued me. I finally answered, amen. He's pursuing you. And now that you're, if you're saved, and if He's been squished out of you, if He has no part of your week, if He has no part of your schedule, He's out there knocking. And you've got piles and piles of stuff trying to dim the noise. But He still wants you. Jesus makes it possible that I can walk with God. I'm just afraid to tell you that He's not welcome in too many Christians' lives. And that's a shame. Just as that song, Hide Me Behind the Cross, when people see you, they ought to be able to see Jesus because you spent time with Him. Listen for His voice again. Yield again. When He says something in the Bible that's true, you just go, that settles it. That's what I need to be doing. If I'm supposed to be on Saturday soul winning, I'm going to go. If I'm supposed to be reading my Bible and I say you ought to be doing it 10 chapters a day. You say, I can't read 10 chapters every day. Yeah, but if you read for 5 days, 10 chapters a day, that's pretty good. Come on, get to it. You may not be able to do it absolutely every day, but wouldn't you like to be able to at least say, I've gotten from one chapter every 3 days to where I'm reading 6 and 7 chapters a day. I think we need to be working on our effort there. When God says to love one another, we got to do it. Listen to His voice again. Obey it. Yield to it. Cleave to Him. Fall in love with Him again. Some of you listen to 96 FM. I'm glad your God nearly is gone. Yes. Neil Prenderful fell this last week. And if you got that filthy station on in your home, you I'm sorry to say no Christian should have his filth. And he was a filthy man. And it's evident he's a filthy man. But you don't need 96 FM in your ear. You need that book in your ear. You need to be in love and passionate about Jesus Christ. There are people complaining and saying, oh, Neil Prenderful was a good guy. That's the only one good. That's the only one good. Cleave to Him. I love Him. And overcome every obstacle. Here's your challenge. Realize the root of every one of our home and heart problems comes from a lack of a walk with God. The root of our problem is me. My walk with God. I can blame my wife. I can blame my kids. They're making me all upset, all uptight. But they wouldn't have that effect if I was walking with Jesus. Would you agree? And I need to repent of that lack. Some of you need to repent of the fact that you don't walk with God. And that's probably a majority of us who are looking at the fact, you know, Pastor, compared to what I should be, I'm doing nothing. Amen. Amen. Good. Repentance. We're too self-sufficient. We don't need God. Except in extreme circumstances. Open the door again to your heart. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.